Well, you talk a lot there about physical injuries. What about the mental health side? I mean, I know there's all this stuff going on about people seeking compensation for the RFU and all that type of thing. How should that be addressed, do you think? Or is it being addressed now?
I'm not too sure how it's been. You know, I've not took any of the scans or anything in terms of the head knocks for, you know, the lawsuit. I haven't done it. No one's approached me to do it. I sympathise with, you know, Steve Thompson, you know, like he's struggling, you know, with his head injury, you know, the side of it. It is a real struggle. It is a concern. Were we protected back then? Of course not, because how did you used to clear out rucks? Use the three probably things that hurt the most, your head, elbow and knee. Yeah. You know, if you can clear with those three things, if someone's lying over the ball, do so. Yeah. So there's no sort of, you know, that's how we clean out, you know.
So you think it's been addressed by the changes in the law since then?
I think the player safety is at the forefront of the game. I think you'll still get people saying it's not. Everyone lower down in the clubs are obviously all more aware of it. Like, it used to be a badge of honour to get knocked out, get playing again, didn't it? Like,
yeah.
You know, quick smelly salts under the nose, boom, or back in again, boom. Look, obviously there's all sorts, and you know, that was your badge of honour. Oh, he's a tough bastard, forth. So, look, the game, we want the game to survive. We don't want to kill the game. The more we can protect the players, create a proper, you know, education for coaches, you know, in schools, rugby clubs, to make sure that, you know, it is safe. But I went down to Matson and done a coaching session for the under 12s, and they said all they were going on about for the whole hour, when we're doing contact.
Is this Matson, mate?
Yeah, it's like, you know, and the thing is, if you know to create, you can create a training session about doing contact. You don't, like, you don't have to do contact to necessarily fully prepare for training. You can prepare them well enough without doing contact, especially at that level. Like but the kids are going, I want to do contact. You know, they want to release their energy, physical energy. You know, and the better the coaches, you know, the more educated the coaches are, and making sure they look after those players, the better the game will be. And I think, yes, that's being put in place. It's like someone saying, I'll never let their kid play rugby, is that to enhance what they're doing, or is it, you know? So it's, you know, because I can tell you now, I got more out of my life by playing rugby than I would have done in anything else. You know, the places I've travelled, the people I've been met and associated with, and the friends you've made, and the physical side of it, like, you know, it's,
but
you
what,
know.
But at what cost, though, Trevor? In fact, at 28, you can't play what you want.
Of course it is. But then you've got to.
Was it worth it?
Oh, 100%. It was. Yeah, 100%. It was worth it. I don't really feel like I've had a proper job for 30 years. You know, I turned professional in 95, and I'm doing something I absolutely love doing. And, you know, I remember when I went through stages when I got real nervous before games, I'm going, why are you nervous? You love what you do. Yeah. So why are you getting yourself wound up before a game and, you know, trying, you know, being sick in the toilet, like, when you love doing this? You know, it's like, why? Yeah. And then, you know, and that's, so, no, I don't regret it. Yes, me back has stopped me from doing lots of things. Yeah. But who said what sort of life would have had otherwise? You don't know.
That's the price to pay.
Yeah. And I think everyone, you know, I wouldn't change it for the world. Yeah. I wouldn't change it enough. And
right. Nearly there.
I was going to ask a question about the way this season, or the number of games you're playing in the season now, and these big gaps. I mean, how does that affect yourselves as coaches and the team?
Look, it's frustrating because, you know, ideally you want to just keep, you know, playing.
Yeah.
Look, we know the game has gone through a tough period the last few years with three teams dropping out the Premiership. Mm. We're short of games. The Prem Cup has been doubled in the amount of games to try and fill some weekends. I suppose the worst bit is, you know, when you get to the end of the season like we are now, like, you know, you don't play for a week because you're not in a knockout cup. You don't have two games, then you've got a weekend off, and sometimes you give the boys a week off depending on where it sits. We're in for 2 days this week to prepare for Sale, and then we play two games, weekend off. It is frustrating. It's sort of, look, end of the day, it's frustrating when you're not playing necessarily playing for trophies. Like, you get to this time of year and you want to be playing for trophies. You know, you want to be in that position and or in knockout rugby or something. Unfortunately, we're not this year, so it does become frustrating. You know, it becomes quite bitty. So you just got to manage it the best you can for the players, because the players feel the same, and try and prepare them well enough. And, like, you know, we've been in today and it's just been, you know, it's all fun, skills, running around, few games. It's just get the heart and lungs going more than anything, and get the ball in your hands. That's what today's been about, and tomorrow we'll be looking at Sale and preparing for that.
Nearly a final question, nearly. Obviously, accentuating what you've been saying and what Ronnie's referring to, we're in the great result the weekend, but we're in the doldrums basically as a club. What do we need? What can we do to fix it? What does it need to fix it?
I think some of the stuff is put in place. I think, look, at end of the day, you know, successful teams probably have the full salary cap being spent, but at what cost? Mm. What cost to the club? What cost to the owner? Would that, by doing that, how would that affect the longevity of what you're doing? So short-term success for long-term gain is, long-term, like the longevity. Like, we could try and chuck everything in this year and try and win something, but how's it going to cost us further down the road? And I think it's just putting in place good structures and process, and to be able to be successful on the field and off the field.
Can you do that without money?
I think you've got to spend wisely. You've got to recruit wisely. You've got to get, if you've got a good strong academy, but there's no stardust above them, where they learn in their trade some of the times, because you've got to see the best players in action. How do they conduct themselves? What do they do? How do they perform on a Saturday? And then you can rise to that level.
Yeah.
You know, your potential can suddenly start fulfilling it and start coming up. We've had a crap season in terms of injuries. That's affected us. Have we managed that as well as we could have done and should have done? Maybe not. Have we tried to ask too much from that playing group when we've had the injuries in terms of how we played last year and try to play this year? Probably. So there's so many different things that could probably, you could say, is it that or that? But I just think it's one of those seasons where I think a huge amount has been learnt behind the scenes, in terms of, you know, the management and everyone in terms of how to do things.
So next year will be better with all the lesson they've learned?
We always hope next year's better, don't you? You go and hope every year, don't you? But you don't know what's going to happen until, like, but you hope that there's an understanding of how we want to play, the players in the building can play that certain way, we can challenge against all the best teams, and I still think you can do it without actually having to spend right up to the salary cap. I think you can still get away with it.
You don't think there's a don't cost me there, the teams that are successful are spending up to the salary cap. You're saying that you think that would only be short term in the long term.
Well,
you did say that.
Yeah, but if that person walks away, that's spending 8 million a year, or is prepared to write off 8 million a year, and then walks away in 5-10 years, that debt lands with the club. And he's going to want them, it's a loan to the club.
Yeah.
It's not an investment,
well, yeah,
it's a loan.
It depends how it's structured.
And
yeah.
I think that's where WASC come unstuck, that's where London Irish come unstuck, that's where Worcester come unstuck.
Yeah.
Is that these guys, if they're in it for the long term, they do have to have responsibility to probably run it so that in another 100 years' time, Gloucester Rugby exists.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So the likes of these big companies going in, Red Bull and these American hedge funds or whatever that have been tangibly possibly affected, you don't see that money coming in as being a part of the solution?
That's completely different then, because I think the goalpost shifts. I think the goalpost shifts altogether then, because you're not relying on a single individual run it, which is what professional rugby has done for 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
They've relied on one individual to put his money in.
Yeah.
Now, if that person is all gung ho and wants to go flat out and spend the full salary cap and build up a debt, then that. Yeah. But I think if you get these big businesses in, it's the franchise part of it. I think it's going to change the landscape of rugby. I'm not sure how it's going to, but I just.
What's to stop them then? You know, pull it out in 3, 4, 5 years, something you said earlier.
I think probably.
No, I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I don't know that, but I think if you get these, like, if you're going to talk, you know, like Red Bull, you've got Dyson and Craig Extra looking to sell out to obviously American investors, I think they can probably. They're at a level that they can probably grow the game so much more than one person putting money into
the club.
So
where does that leave teams like Gloucester then? They have to find one.
They're going to have to find someone probably.
Right, yeah.
I'm sure they're looking.
Yeah.
I'm sure they, you know, the frustrating thing is when Al Trad wanted to buy the club.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The other Premiership owners didn't want it.
Yeah, yeah.
And now
these
Premiership owners go, we need investment.
Yeah. Interesting,
it's interesting. Like, so I'm not saying I know all the details behind it, but it's like a billionaire was prepared to come in and buy Gloucester.
Yeah.
And
wasn't the spoke put in there as well because he owned
Montpellier?
Yeah, because he owned Montpellier.
And he had one club.
Yeah, he wasn't going to own all of it. He was going to be a controlling shareholder, I think, from what I understand.
Yeah.
But the other Premiership owners went no.
Yeah.
So they probably stopped the growth of the game,
yeah.
And then obviously COVID hit and it's kicked everyone like in the balls probably, and now, you know, these guys are looking for investment themselves.
Yeah, interesting. Right, finally, is there anything else you'd like to mention that we think we haven't covered about your career so far?
I don't think so. I think that's fairly in depth, isn't it?
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah,
first of all, thank you. And also wish you all the best in Connaught, if I can.
Yeah, you can say that. Yeah.
Yeah,
no, look, it's a great challenge for, look, I've been in Gloucester for 12 years.
Yeah.
And look, a new challenge, exciting coaching opportunity with Stuart Lancaster, who's a head coach with huge amount of experience. And it's a club that's built a new stand, new training centre.
Well.
And everyone keeps telling me it's the best place in the world to live.
Brilliant.
So as long as you like wind and rain. But no, we can't wait to get over there. So we've got lots to do in the next couple of months. It's going to be emotional. It's going to be sad to leave Gloucester because it's been 21 years of my life as a player and coach. So that side of it's going to be sad. And you know, Gloucester's a unique place. Kingsham's a unique place to play the game or even coach a game. And
anyway. Thank you very much indeed, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thanks very
Thank
much.
You. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much indeed.
Cheers. Thank you.